is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. We're at the top of the hour, Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester, and it's Tuesday. And we are, like I said, at the top of the hour, and we have two guests here in studio. We have my very good friend, Alan Vonderhoff, and he'll tell you all where we've met, how we know each other. And then Alan brought his good friend, Kathy Burnham-Martin. And like I was saying earlier, listeners out there, you may not recognize maybe the Martin, but you certainly recognize Kathy Burnham. At least, you know, I do, back in the Channel 9 days, right?
It just means you've been around here for a very long time.
That's right.
I always know when someone has moved to town in the last couple of decades or quarter century, because they would go, who? What? Alan, case
me
in
too.
Point.
Well, what I didn't realize about you, Kathy, is that you are a major foodie.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I've been in town 30 years, I'm aware of your television work, but I had no idea that you've done at least 1,000 recipes, correct?
I'm almost up to 1,500 now, as far as published ones.
I can attest to that. I've been at their home for
Thanksgiving
meals, and it's like they're feeding the Fifth Army. It's unbelievable the spread that she and Ryan do.
Yeah. No one goes hungry on that walk.
Oh, man.
Rules.
And it's very good. Also on the boat as well. The dockside dining is perfect.
Yeah, you've got a trio of books on that
right
now,
right? There's a ton of books that she has here that she's written. And they're short, you know, they're short. And, you know, the recipes in it, they all seem very, you know, pretty simple, not too bad.
Very simple.
I don't like, well, you know, when I look at a recipe book, that's the first thing I look, because I love recipe books. And when I look and I check to see, like, how many ingredients there are. Like, mm-hmm. That Guy Fieri cookbook over there that's in the rack right there. Mm-hmm. There's so many ingredients in those. It's like two pages just for the ingredients.
Makes my eyes kind of roll back in my head.
Same
I remember reading magazines when I was much younger, Gourmet, Food and Wine, whatever they might be, and going, oh, what fun, that have all these people over to some gorgeous, very New York-looking apartment, and they all have their little stations where they're creating certain parts of the meal, and then I'm looking at the recipes and going, that's exciting, this 30, 40 ingredients and really odd things that really, for an eighth of a teaspoon, I have to go get some weird thing I'm never going to use again.
And
huge descriptions of how you prepare each thing. I said, I'm sorry, you come to a party at our house, you've already had too much wine before we get to step number 42.
Oh.
I mean, it's just not going to work out right. You know, it's like, what? I said, that just isn't it. I said, how can I capture the essence of what they're trying to present? The texture, the flavors, the spirit of it. And if I think I can, I try.
You definitely did. I mean, the simplicity of it. That's the first thing I look at when I look at a cookbook. I'm like, how many ingredients are in some of these?
And like zucchini brownies. See, that one caught my eye. Zucchini brownies.
You know.
Because I've baked with zucchini and chocolate before, and it's amazing how well it works.
It does.
And how, unless you're really looking, you don't see the little shreds of zucchini in there.
No, you
So you're
really
getting
don't.
Healthy food into people.
And you don't know. They think they're eating chocolate.
No, and it makes it so much moister, too, right?
It does.
Because there's so much water content in it. You got to eat. Literally have to wring it out before you put it in.
Before doing veggies into such things as brownies, I had started using, this sounds gross, baby food, the pureed peaches or plums. Or I know that sounds weird.
Interesting.
I think applesauce is more common, but back in college, I was experimenting with little jars of baby food because then I didn't have to buy a huge thing. And it was wonderful, the moisture it would add to sauces.
That's a great idea.
Goods.
And baby food is munchies after a party at night.
Yeah, and there you go. Hey, whatever it takes.
Yeah. Whatever you were experimenting with.
Pureed Doritos. I can't wait.
But I think a lot of the recipes come from eating places. And you have something, you go, oh, I really like that. And you go, can I create this at home? Or something similar. And that's why, yes, you saw this one. That's the Red Arrow.
The Red Arrow.
Because that's just what it is. Wherever I'm eating, I say, oh, I love that.
What did you make from the Red Arrow?
It's crab cake hash browns a la Red Arrow.
Oh, really? Do you still serve that? Crab cake hash browns?
No.
Okay. But there was a time.
Actually, I shouldn't say that. Yes, we do, because we have weekly breakfast specials, and they go into rotations. And,
So
you know, we
special.
Have histories of it, and we do a crab cake hash brown special.
Right.
So we do.
But then I'll do a spin at the end of it. So, yes, you can do it like this as a breakfast or a brunch item, or how you can do it if you want to serve a whole bunch of people, or a tapas. Johnny Lament, a little mini tapas bites.
Don't you love tapas?
I am
That's my
so into tapas all the way. I start with appetizers. I don't care what the food group is. Give me that one bite, two bite tidbit.
I even sometimes will just have another one of those for my meal sometimes and then pick off Daryl's, you know.
Oh, I prefer that often.
Yeah,
if we're going out, if I can just do an appetizer, I'm a happy girl. Yeah. Sometimes I can't restrict, though, because I see something I really want under the entrees.
But you know what's really good about your books is that you put the little kiss tip at the end, you know, to keep it simple, basically, or, well, yeah, that's the polite
way
of
putting it.
That's
where the kiss comes from. Keep it super simple.
Right.
And I think we all
have
various variations on that.
But it's funny. You go, through all the things, and then you share a little bit of what maybe the recipe doesn't say to you to really make it easier or better. And that's extremely helpful.
Personalizing it. I know we had friends bring their rendition of the Texas caviar when you're doing up your beans and corn and peppers and onions, and it makes a nice dip. So I said, okay, I have to kind of create one. And then I started spinning on it. So a regular Texas caviar turns into a Carolina caviar because you add some bacon and some diced up peaches. Mm-hmm. Or you turn it into a California caviar and you put in some chunks of avocado. Or you go into the like a far out, far eastern kind of swing and you start adding some wasabis and different fun dishes or something Caribbean, do some sesame and some shrimp. And so you end up with all these variations and it gets people's brains turning and going, ooh, well, if that's good, why not this? Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the whole idea is to personalize it, make it your own, but keep it real super, super simple.
Alan, what does Kathy make that you enjoy the most, or what is your favorite treat or dish or entree?
There's a lot.
I have no idea.
I don't. I'm trying to, because there's so much food.
Yeah.
It's hard to pick out one. Everything that I've had there has been good, so I can't give you an answer. It's all been very good.
Well, then tell me about
your
yeah, sorry about that. I don't like to do that to guests.
No,
tell me about your search for Mary or the Bloody Mary thing. Can you do a book all about Bloody Marys? Well, obviously you did. I haven't seen it.
Well,
but
no, that's the common thread of the book. It's more autobiographical, but that was my way of writing about it, because I've lived all over the country and they're different regionally, Bloody Marys are.
Okay.
But so I intermix it with a lot of anecdotal things about my life. And the new book, Searching for Margarita, is the same way. It's an extension of the old book. So, Carol, you have a copy of it.
I do. Isn't it right there in front of you?
It is not. I don't have a copy of it. And I'm a huge margarita guy, so I would have found it.
It's right here.
I believe it's there, yeah.
Oh, I can see the little celery bookmark sticking up.
Yes, I can see it.
Is it here?
There you go.
All right.
It's an hourine.
How long has it been in here? Forever?
Yeah.
Well, I know. It's far from me. Searching for Mary. All right. But the book about margaritas will be out when?
Well, I'm done with it, finally.
Okay.
And so I just got it in production. Kathy uses, you can find Kathy's books through Amazon, and you're print on demand, aren't you?
Something they do like print that. On demand. They're also at Barnes & Noble. I mean, anything online.
Right.
Anything online.
So I used to self-publish. I'm going to try to go the route that Kathy went for
no
a number of reasons.
Right. No, it's the way to go. A lot of writers are doing that
and
now.
That's what I
and the
do.
Quality is good enough that the stigma's gone, and it's a beautiful presentation. It really is. You can't tell them apart sometimes.
No, and it just makes sense in this day and age because things move so quickly.
I'm actually
teaching a class for the College of Lifelong Learning, author, you know, how people can kind of get their stuff out there, boom, without a big investment.
Well, your listeners who remember Kathy is only being on MUR, If the Webster's Dictionary had pictures next to definitions, you'd find Kathy's by the definition of overachiever. She's on the board of Easter Seals. She used to act at be involved in the Palace Theater. She's written like 10 books now, not all on food, but mainly food. She was Miss New Hampshire.
That was quite a few decades ago.
See, this is one thing you don't know. You thought you met me here, but we actually met. There was a national beauty pageant. You were Miss New Hampshire, and I was Miss Wisconsin. But you didn't know that. I went by the name of Caitlin.
I'm sorry. You were not Miss Wisconsin, because I remember her. She was quite a lovely gal of a very different build than yours. Nothing personal.
A little less stress territory, I think, right?
Yeah. So, you're very funny.
No, we met 9 years ago, right after I got got here from out of state.
Are you, so you're a Wisconsin native?
I'm a Wisconsin native.
Cheesehead.
Yeah, I don't go by that. Why anybody perpetuates that is beyond me. But I'm a big Packer fan, I will say that.
All right.
But I live all over the country, and that's why I've written the books that I've written. And it goes into a lot of stuff. San Francisco, Scottsdale, Wisconsin, of course.
I call it a rather sexy diary.
It's mm-hmm. it's got a couple mm-hmm. little passages, but it's... Not sec-
You're blushing. Give me this. It doesn't.
No. Well, Kathy, you described, or somebody did, a successful eclectic career, which I like that that description of it, though, really. If somebody didn't know you, they would listen to all the things you've done without realizing that you're a serious media force in this town. And they'd say, that's cool. What does an eclectic career person do?
It's a person who basically doesn't know what they want to be when they grow up.
That's the answer. I'm kind of there, too, myself.
But I figured it out finally. I said, I want to be a full-time volunteer, and that's sort of hard to do. But I started off as a speech and theater major, and they weren't letting me into any classes. They said, oh, no, you're ahead of what we're teaching then. I'm like, well, why am I majoring in this? Shifted into business, thinking, well, there's an application for those skill sets in PR. Being a corporate rep for somebody or something. And so I ended up in marketing, and I've kind of employed those corporate communication skills in every job since. So media was a deviation for me, not a planned career. It was just sort of a great, I'm so glad I did it, but it was never a goal. And
But it's a great platform to step off for the other things that you're doing. I mean, did you, you know, because I've done it for 44 years, essentially, I'm ramping down now, but did you get to a point where you kind of missed it, or did you not look back and just moved on with other projects?
I really never looked back, and that sounds harsh to say because I totally loved the time and mm-hmm. the people and the adventures and the news stories and such, but it wasn't my career goal. And you start getting pushed, like, why didn't you take that job with ABC, and why didn't you? Mm-hmm. It's called because that's not the career path I want. It was just not.
And people have a hard time understanding that. Yeah.
Well, that's typically, I think it's people that are in the media that couldn't understand it. I had coworkers going, are you crazy? We're going to have you checked in somewhere. You're out of your mind. And I'd be like, well, no, it's just not what I really want to do. I wasn't totally sure what I wanted to structure as my future, but I knew it wasn't that. One of the nice offers that had come in from ABC was a lovely program, and a couple of very nice, well-respected men were hosting it, and they wanted me to be the woman in the field and doing some things. And it was being test marketed in Boston, so I watched the test market show and said, okay, that one really eats Kahlo. This is really a bad show. And I said respectfully, no, I appreciate it, I'm honored, but it's just not what I want to do. No.
Oh, this show sucks. I don't want
to. This particular show did get canceled 6 weeks later. So when they were talking to me, I said, I made the right decision, didn't I? And they went, oh, no, it's ABC News that wants to hire you. We would just reassign you somewhere else. I said, great. My luck, I'd get Istanbul for the next 6 months or something. And this is why I didn't want to be a journalist.
It could have been Martha Raddatz.
Yeah, right. I just didn't have that kind of goal. I'm really much more of a homebody. I like to travel, but I like to come back home.
How about food on television? I mean, your talents clearly would translate into Food Network or name the show.
That might have been something I would consider. When I was working with Channel 9 locally, it was fun to get them started on food coverage, bringing in chefs, starting to go out and cover food festivals. People would say, who wants to do that? I said, are you kidding? Food is a common denominator. We all love it, live by it, anything. We have to have food, and we like to enjoy it, so why not? So it kind of was natural. I was doing cultural coverage, arts and entertainment. I said, food's part of our culture. That's who we are. So it worked out. They ended up adding a kitchen, and all kinds of things sprung from that. But when I first started doing it, we didn't have as much as a hot plate.
No.
Still really don't have too much
understand.
More.
No, they've redone it. They've completely redone the kitchen, all new stuff.
So it's real?
It's real.
It was a facade for a very long time.
I just did Cook's Corner 2 weeks ago.
Really, just and the stove is
it's
real.
It's beautiful.
Everything else is
No, the fridge, I mean, well, the fridge, nobody opens it up because it's the crew's lunches and it's nasty in there.
Nice. Great.
But, all right, so, Kathy, you also did a book on champagne facts, fizz, food, fun, and frolicking or whatever. The other F word. But all right, so I know this isn't like the time of the year we talk a lot about champagne, but give us you know, a little one-on-one on selecting champagnes, caring for it before you open it up, not being enamored with the big names. So give us a little primer.
And I'm not
on that.
Either. I am absolutely not a food snob. And a fun thing happened to me this spring. I was invited by this wonderful wine book club to come and be their guest. And these are people who know their wines. And I'm going, you're going to have to teach me, babes, because I am the common person doing this. I think it was more of a, we all like bubbly, and we tend to be intimidated by it because there are these people who are so educated and cultured in it, and we go, seriously, drink what you like. Don't drink it because somebody else said to do it. Mm-hmm. Don't drink it because it's really expensive or fancy-sounding name. That's not it. Drink something you enjoy, and often that's something that's quite inexpensive.
Yes.
So you don't have to go get a bottle of Dom Pérignon, but if you're going to spend a lot of money, don't mix it with anything. Get the cheap stuff to mix it. That would be, I think, a pretty big tip. Mm-hmm. It's just silly. If you're going to sip something, then fine. They do have tinier bubbles when you get to some of these really expensive ones.
Really?
They do. They seem like tinier bubbles. So flavors are different. Some are sweeter and some are not. So it depends on what your taste buds say.
How about Prosecco?
I love Prosecco.
Yeah, I like Prosecco too.
And that's the stuff to use, like for a
a Bellini, baby.
Yeah, Bellini. Yeah, I mean, why use the expensive, you know, $50-$60 bottles of champagne for, you know, mixed with orange juice? The Prosecco are
Prosecco, yeah. They're just sparkling white wines.
Right.
Yeah. You can't officially call something champagne unless it's from the Champagne region.
Right.
Prosecco is from the...
It's Italy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. It's Italy's sparkling white. We have sparkling whites all over. You'll find California sparkling whites anywhere. Mm-hmm. Some people just call them champagne now. They're kind of thumbing their nose at the French standard and rule because we'll find champagnes that are not from France.
All right, so I have at home... a bottle of 1989 Veuve Clicquot that was given to me at a wedding when I was a mobile DJ. And they said, oh, here's your gift.
Has it stayed chilled?
It has not stayed chilled. And that was one of the better years, 1989 and 92. Because I did some research on it when I found it after 20 years. I said, ooh, this was really good. And I still haven't
you
opened
don't
it.
Don't age white wines. They don't need to age.
My wife, well, first of all, that champagne champagne book that Kathy wrote is... you dedicated it to my wife.
I did.
Because my wife's a real champagne.
The dedication is literally to her. I'm
and when we published our Polo magazine, we would get Veuve Clicquot, we would get Roeder as advertisers. And the nice thing about that is rather than them paying their advertising fee, we barter it. So
smart.
We get like 7-8 cases of champagne.
Nice.
And yeah, well, my wife really likes that. But
she
now
loves
we really dole it out now. I mean, we would have parties, and the bottles would be flying all over. Well, we're not so generous anymore. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
But it can be any bubbly.
Yeah.
And we mentioned the Prosecco. That is, it's delightful, and it's typically less expensive. And in my taste buds, it's just as happy as a champagne. But my husband had taken me on this lovely cruise. We were in Italy and went to Venice. So I knew on my bucket list was getting to Harry's Bar, where they invented the Bellini. And I'm like, oh, I must get there. And I just must. I love peaches and I love the bubbly. And I just, I gotta know what's going on. And I had learned already what their secret was. They pureed white peaches and added the Prosecco. But peaches tend to have a variation in the sweetness. So to even it out throughout the year, they used a little touch of raspberry puree. And that evened out not only the flavor, but gave it a nice touch of color that you don't get when you just put, say, peach with something.
Well, there's a restaurant in North Conway called Bellini's. I don't know. It is an Italian restaurant, so I don't know if you'd be able to find some kind of drink along those lines.
They must have.
Yeah. There are so
like
many
that.
Variations on Bellini's.
Yeah.
Any restaurant that serves champagne can make even a fake Bellini. They will put champagne with a peach liqueur. Mm. In many places, you order a Bellini, that's what you get. There is no peach puree happening, and they certainly don't even know about the raspberry trick. But you'll get the liqueur with some bubbly, whether it's Prosecco or champagne, and they'll call it a Bellini. And it's fine. It's yummy. We've done them with ice cream and big fountains and whatnot. And we used raspberry sorbet in lieu of a raspberry puree. I mean, it just, there's all kinds of twists and variations.
When did this in your life start to be something you were passionate about, the food aspect?
Oh, I was really young.
So even
my
as a kid,
dad studied to be a chef, actually, in Boston. Those were the days before chef schools and whatnot.
Right.
And he's plumbing, electrical, heating by trade. But he always had been cooking. He was the baby in the family, and so his mom had taught him how to bake. And he landed this lovely, I call it an internship, because that's what you had to do to train. It didn't have college to go to for that. But he missed my mom too much. He had to come home and get married. So that was that. He taught her to cook, and they, of course, taught us. So we had to do everything from scratch. I tell people we had one package mix that used to sit in our pantry, and that was this funny old box that had a pizza mix in it. And it had a little container with the like flour, and it had a little can of sauce and a little tiny thing of cheese. That was the only package mix that ever hit my shelves. So it's just what it was. They taught us how to cook. And so I was a kid. I found some of my early recipes when I was probably 6 or 7 years old, and they're pretty funny looking.
That's pretty cool.
But I've just always, always, always loved it.
Your favorite thing to cook? Alan was having difficulty because he's had so many of your wonderful dishes. What do you really like to make the most for whatever reason?
My favorite food of all foods is lobster. So almost anything with lobster, which is kind of interesting because I believe in simplicity with lobster. So I really just want it steamed and nice butter. But that said, there's so many wonderful things to do. I've come up with a dip, actually, that can be used as a dip. It can be used in omelets. It can be used in macaroni and cheese. I mean, it just is mind-boggling.
A dip. All right.
Yes.
So what else is in it?
Oh, you're going to have to wait for the next book for that. I'm sorry.
I can't wait.
Too bad.
All right.
So all right.
I'll make a deal with you. You don't have to drink the swill that we're going to make a drink if you tell me what's in it.
Lobster amazing?
Yeah.
I'll drink your swill because I have to hold it out. Give me a taste. I heard all about this.
You want to try some? Because
sure.
It's almost time to wrap
it's
up.
It's really not
I was actually going to say, you know, you've been good sports and good guests, so...
we'll do it.
Which I knew you would.
You know what I need to? Way back in 1993, when you did the Easter Seal, well, one of the Easter Seal telethons, I tried to find the picture, but I cannot find it. My son was at the telethon, and there's a picture of you holding him on your lap.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, awesome.
I just couldn't find it. But yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That was something I enjoyed doing so much. That's what actually started me in television was Easter Seals. They had recruited me to become one of their hosts. That's when I first worked with Ken Kale. In fact, he and I started the same year.
Oh my gosh.
I think it was in 1983 was the first year that we were hosting that together. And Bill Morrissey at the time was also. So it was just amazing to me that they would put me on. I said, no, you use radio and television people. What do you want me for? And they said, oh, but you do all this stuff in the public. We want you. We'll teach you what you need to know. So truly, between Easter Seal Telethon and having been on the Uncle Gus show in the old days of Channel 9.
As a child or as a part of the cast?
No, as a child.
Okay.
As a child.
I was a child, too.
Yeah. Were you really?
I was.
It was really sad when he died a couple of years ago, huh? I mean, the whole town stopped and talked about it for a couple of days.
Well, if you'd been around here, he was it. He was. The weatherman, he was Uncle Gus, he was Santa Claus when they would read the letters to the North Pole. So he was so much a part of, I think, broadcasting culture.
Those folding chairs was a big deal.
was it really?
You'd be in your little brownie uniform or whatever and get selected.
Best smile.
All I remember is we'd take home Charleston Chews and Jiffy Pop and all these comic books, things we weren't allowed at my house. I was like, yeah!
How's it taste, Alan?
All right, he's tried this.
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you think? What can you put your finger on what the flavor is? Because I cannot.
It's like, almost like a liquid butterscotch.
That's a good way to description. Somebody said also a cream soda. But liquid butterscotch.
I taste maple. Close.
Yeah, a little maple. I agree.
Well, it's white gourd juice.
It's what?
The aroma white gourd juice. I'll read the ingredients.
I believe you, but
because
it reminds me of maple.
Fluent Singaporean here.
It's sweet.
All right, water, cane sugar, white gourd juice, an artificial flavor, and caramel.
Yeah.
Well, the aroma totally took me to an old maple sugar house.
Mm-hmm.
When I sniff it, that's what I'm getting is a maple sugar house.
It's not horrible, is it?
No, it isn't. It's just extraordinarily sweet.
Yes.
And that
24 grams
to me
of sugar in that can.
So. But I have water here too that I could wash it out with, and I don't need to. So if somebody loves a sweet drink, this is right up their alley, but I definitely get that maple overtone.
Yo's, Y-E-O apostrophe S, available at Market Basket.
I like how you said that in unison, kids. Golly.
You are professionals, aren't you?
Well, we hope you'll come back again sometime because it was fun just kind of shooting around the table all
and,
these
and
ideas.
Can I do a little promo?
Please do.
You can find my books also on my website and there's articles too. www.goodliving123.com.
Goodliving123.com. Kathy Burnham Martin.
I had a peek at it. Right.
Cool. Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Alan, my good friend.
Absolutely.
I can't wait for the margarita book to come out.
Me
I know that
too.
Is Mike's favorite drink.
I gave you a draft.
You did, and it's awesome.
And that was most of it. That was most of it, which is missing one chapter. So,
are you at all a fan of Jamaican margaritas?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way I want them.
That's the only way I get them. Right. Do you use tree ripe mix? It is the best I have
found. Is that the stuff that you found? Remember the last time, right before I was on, you had found this stuff, and I told Carol.
On the west side. I bought a case of it.
You can get it at the restaurant supply.
Yes, that's the place.
Yes.
Bought a case of it for like $60, and we give it to friends, because if you're going to make me margaritas, it better be at Jamaican.
Well, that's what they have up at Shorty's.
He's a margarita snob.
Yeah. They have that at Shorty's.
Yes.
And that's where they go.
As do the T-Bones, the Cactus Jacks group of restaurants also.
Really?
That's how I found out, because I know a lot of people there.
I
said, what are you using? Because I cannot duplicate this at home. I try and I can't.
There are some mixes, and I think I mentioned this before, my ex-wife, she had a really bad reaction to the mix. I mean, like her arm went numb.
Ooh.
And it wasn't one time, it was several times. Right. So,
get some tree ripe and give it a shot.
Yeah.
Just follow the directions on the back, use a nicer tequila, and you got yourself a great drink, half the calories of the other ones.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the book.
Yeah. Well, read this one first. It's Searching for Mary. And then you'll enjoy the next one as well.
Alan, Kathy, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
great
you.
To
thank
have
you very
you.
Much.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Always love it.
All right. Listening to Food for Thought, we're going to go on a short break. We'll be right back with Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. And I believe it's Holly and Nikki in the greenhouse right now.
They're out
we'll
there.
Be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We're live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. We have a lot of people in and out of the green room today. Packed show. We are in studio now with Holly and Nikki of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. Welcome back to Food for Thought.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
The two are sitting here, and they're both just so happy, and they always have smiles on, and I always picture them with little wands.
You know, we do consider ourselves fairy godmothers up there.
You that's how I see it. I would just love to be there when you get, like, a call, and you know, and then you all like, oh, my gosh, we're there, and everybody's just running around.
You don't picture me with a wand?
No,
okay.
I don't.
Fine, not feeling it.
So we do have a fun wish coming up, actually. Well, as I'm sure you've learned now, our fiscal year ends August 31st, and I think the last time I was here, we were talking about how we were basically granting 30 wishes in less than 2 months.
Right.
And we have one this Friday. We have a wish child who wishes to be a magician. So we're bringing it to life at the Rochester
Opera? The Rochester Opera House this Friday, and very exciting.
How old is this recipient?
He's 6 years old, and we actually he's just absolutely adorable, and it's his one true heartfelt wish to be a magician. So we have an actual magician who will be doing his show. His name is Norman Ng, and he'll be performing a show with this wish child and his brother, and they'll be a part of the show, and his wish to be a magician will come to life.
So will there be like hoopla as there have been for other shows kind of like this?
We are kind of like Oprah. We don't know how to do things small. So as long as the wish family and the wish child are okay with the hoopla, there's always definitely
limos,
fun times.
Absolutely.
Red carpets.
Red carpet. Secret,
paparazzi.
Though.
Oh.
It's all right.
We'll cut that out in post-production.
Exactly.
We are expecting about 500 people to attend this event.
Whoa.
So the entire town, city of Rochester will be hopefully in attendance. We have a lot of people who are supporters of Make-A-Wish that will be attending, and we have some security people there that will be helping out, and so it will be a very special night.
So this young boy is 6. What's his first name?
Seth.
So has Seth been practicing, or does he have a few tricks that are, you know, pretty good?
Absolutely. He's definitely been practicing his tricks. He's had the opportunity to meet with the magician Norman, and so I'm excited. I'll be there in attendance for it, and hopefully I'll be able to capture some great photos that I can share on our Make-A-Wish Facebook page. And I'm sure I'll be very impressed with his magician skills.
They must be, he must have got together with the magician. They must have like a little skit going, I'm sure.
I think they do. I know one of his wish granters is actually our vice president of development. And I think he specifically said to her, I want to make $20 disappear, yeah. I think was what he's, and she's like, oh, sweetie, yeah, we can do more than that. So he's very excited. But yeah, we're working our wands and he gets to work his wand. So it should, yeah,
that is
it
cool.
Should be a lot of fun.
My Tyler, I don't know if it's a boy thing, but Jesse didn't, but Tyler, he was into magic. He was really into magic. And one year we went to Disney and it was in Universal and they have the magic store. And I'm telling you, we spent like 2 hours in there. We watched the show and we had to watch the show again. And
it's very fascinating.
He loves that. Not he's old. He's 21 now, but he loved magic for a while.
Do you want to know how the tricks are done when you watch stuff?
I'm always
curious. I always want to know.
But I like the fact that I don't know, too, because I feel like if you know, then it's not magic.
Okay, you can block your ears, Nikki.
Don't tell me. Don't show me.
We will see if Seth gives away any of his secrets.
Well, if you've seen Penn & Teller, I'm sure you've heard of them.
Yes.
They did a whole national tour, I remember, about 25 years ago, where the whole idea was to debunk the way that magic is done and presented.
And this magician, Norman Ng, has actually been on that show before.
Oh, has he?
So
yeah, they've got a show on right now.
Yes.
Where a magician goes out and does a trick, and Penn and Teller have to try to figure out how it was done. And about half the time they can't, which is a real tribute to the person doing the magic,
yeah,
because they're so experienced and so knowledgeable, you would think they know every, pardon the expression, trick in the book.
Right. But so Seth really is working with a professional, I think, and it will be very exciting to watch his
magic. Where's this guy
show
from? Who's with
he's
him?
He's from the Rochester. Oh, I'm not sure if you mean Ng, the professional?
Ng, yeah.
I'm guessing the Rochester area, but I'm not positive of that.
Well, that's cool, he's been on with Penn and Teller.
He has, and he's traveled all over the country, and we do have two local talents performing from the Rochester area as well during the show, from what I've been told. But yeah, I'm not too sure where Norman is from, but we're excited to have him.
I know,
be
grateful,
a part of this,
because he's definitely donating a lot of his time,
sure,
which is nice.
So it really is a full-fledged show. It's not just come in for 10 minutes, see Seth, and then, you know, get in your cars and go home. There's going to be a lot more to it.
Exactly.
Huh? So Seth's father is a barber in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So barbers know a lot
of
people.
Lots of people.
So I think single-handedly, the family is bringing
in
a good
Well, they make hair disappear, so they're kind of magicians themselves, too, right?
Wah, wah.
Thank you, Nikki.
But yeah, so we have two room makeovers coming up, and one of which is like a castle room makeover.
Ooh, hmm.
Yeah, and then we have
a tree house being built right now.
Julie told us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, we had this wish child design his own treehouse, and he presented it to his wish granters, and he said, this is what I am envisioning, and he wanted to make sure that there was a ladder or staircase for his cat to go up and down with him. But so that's the construction of that treehouse started this past week, and it will be finished on August 30th, and the reveal for that wish child, Jack, will happen this coming Sunday. And it's really exciting. You know, the community has gotten involved. We've had the Carpenters Union 118 of New Hampshire who are helping to construct the treehouse. So it's really unique and exciting when you can have an entire community come together to bring a wish to life.
Now, are these all the wishes that need to get done by August 31st?
August 31st. Okay. So in addition to the 30 wishes that our magical team has been able to do, we also still, September 1st comes and we still have so many other. I want to say last I heard, we had about 50, 60 in queue for next year. And obviously our goal is to reach 90. So as the year goes on, we'll see how it goes. Oh,
that's
very
almost
exciting.
It's almost
it never
two a
stops.
Week, right? Every 4 days.
Every 4 days we do grant a wish here in New Hampshire. God. Our goal is to get to about every 2.5 days.
How much of those get any publicity? Because, you know, you see the one like, you know, the all-terrain vehicle last week, and we know about a few other ones we've heard about. And I'm sure you make sure the media is alerted So I'm wondering how difficult it is, especially when you're doing that many of them, to keep in front of the public's eyes.
We do. Holly is definitely our guru when it comes to media, but we do wish families have the option to say no thank you.
Got it.
So a fair amount do say that. Mm-hmm. They just want it kept private, which we completely understand.
Oh, sure.
And then the ones that are a good story or are simple or have the ability to have crowd support, those are the ones that we present. We try not to present every single one because we want to keep them interested as well. So, but anyone that's publicity eligible, that there's some kind of a good story mm-hmm. wrapped into it, we definitely present
or
it.
Or if it's a unique wish that you don't see every day. You know, some of our most popular wishes are to travel. And so oftentimes it's hard to capture those, you know, through the media. But those wishes that are unique.
The magician and ATV.
Will the magic show have any publicity? Do you know?
I have reached out to local media as well as some of our larger media in this area. And so we're hopeful that the media will be present. But then again, you never know what sort of activities happen throughout the state that are more pressing issues. So they always, you know, let us know that they would really love to attend if they're able.
Okay, we should probably take a break here. We have one more set to do, right?
We do. We need to take a break. You're listening to Food for Thought, 107.7 The Pulse. We are in studio with Holly and Nikki of Make-A-Wish, New Hampshire. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike at the Beacon Building, downtown Manchester. We're in our segment with Make-A-Wish, New Hampshire. And we only have like a few minutes left, but maybe you can let us know how people can get involved with Make-A-Wish, or you know where they can go and get information and such.
Absolutely. So if anyone's interested in getting involved, the best and biggest thing we need right now are wish ambassadors and folks to just share the mission and share our goals and our needs and just talk about us so that more people know we grant wishes to children with life-threatening medical conditions, and that a wish experience is so much more than just a day or just a wish. They become our family. And so the best way, reach out to us on our website. It's nh.wish.org, and we have upcoming wish tours. Our next one is Thursday, September 10th at 4 p.m., and they take place right in our office at the Beacon Building. So visit us and see this amazing space that we have, too. And then we have another one September 22nd at noon. So, but reach out to us if you have any interest at all.
And they can get those dates and times right on your website.
Absolutely.
nh.wish.org. And, I, you know, my son Tyler and I did the tour a few months back, and it's short. It's very informative. I loved it. It really, you know, opened your eyes as to exactly what you guys do up there. And that's why I envision you guys all with little little wands.
You need to get up there and see it.
Yeah, no kidding. Huh?
Little wands. Then you'll envision us with wands,
Well, maybe not. Don't forget I'm a guy. Anyway, so Seth will be doing his magic act at the Rochester Opera House this week, right? This weekend?
Yes, correct, this Friday.
Now, I know that probably most of the seats are taken because there's a huge network of people that want to be there.
Yep.
If somebody really wanted to go, could they get in touch with you at the office and
Absolutely.
You might find a way to get them on the guest list?
So feel free to give us a call. Our number is 603-623-WISH or 9474. And feel free to give us a call if you are interested in seeing Seth's wish come to life.
And Holly Blanchard's next wish is to become Miss America. And well, hey, you got a 1 in 51 chance.
That's right. I'm very excited. Right. I leave this Sunday, and so it's really an opportunity
you
of
seem,
a lifetime.
You are remarkably calm for the biggest exposure of your life.
I keep telling everybody that it still doesn't feel 100% real. I'm ready. I'm relaxed. I'm excited for this opportunity, but I'm ready more than anything. So that will be very helpful to stay calm and just enjoy myself while I'm there.
People can vote. Again, this is explain how the voting component works in helping you advance.
The voting component gives one young woman the opportunity to compete during the semifinals, which we telecast live on Sunday, September 13th. So 15 young women out of the 52 of us will be moving on into the semifinals. So those in the public can have the opportunity to vote by going on Facebook or Twitter and posting a status using New Hampshire and hashtag Miss America Vote. And hopefully you'll see me make it into the top 15.
Very good.
We would love that. And your talent portion will be a baton routine that you have been working on. And I was thinking, you know, you probably could have done it for us here in the Beacon Building because we have a big open
five or six stories high. Here.
You really could fling that thing up there and put out one of the
skylights.
It would
be great practice. Maybe next time. Maybe after I come back. If I come back.
That's right. We may not see you. You'll be off touring the country representing the Miss America organization. I mean, you know.
Never know.
You're that close to it.
Yes.
Now, okay, so you leave on Sunday, and the competition is actually the following Sunday, so
it's
a whole week.
Actually, 2 weekends after that, so Sunday, September 13th.
Ooh,
so I'll be down there for 2 full weeks. I know it's hard to think about leaving my Make-A-Wish family here, but I'm excited to just be there representing the state of New Hampshire and having the opportunity to talk about my involvement with the Make-A-Wish organization. That's really been so exciting for me to be able to have these two passions of mine align.
Mom and Dad, who I met at the Miss Rockingham County competition about a month ago, will be joining you at some point, right?
Yes, they will both be coming down on Labor Day, actually. So.
Great folks. Give them my best.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll be rooting for you.
Thanks.
There you go. And thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Holly, for representing Make-A-Wish. You did very good in Julie's absence. Up next is Kale and Company, and he is here in the house. He's at the Beacon today, so he's in the green room. So stay tuned, Kale and Company, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye.